This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
In there! And that does it! History in the desert! The Texas Rangers, for the first time ever, are World Series champs!
It's unreal. I couldn't be happier for these guys to write history.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can watch us on ESPN2. Listen to us on all the great ESPN stations across the country, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. You heard the voice there of John Boogshambi with the call last night on ESPN Radio. The Texas Rangers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in game number 5 of the World Series 5-0. They win the World Series 4-1, their first ever World Series title for the Texas Rangers in 63 years. 11-0 on the road in this series. Corey Seager with his second World Series MVP, his first one with the Dodgers, and Bruce Bochy with his fourth World Series title, his first with a different team outside of the Giants. He went there with the Padres, went there with the Giants and won 3, and now with the Texas Rangers. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Not as good a morning for us as it is in DFW celebrating the Rangers championship. It's crazy to think that this team 2 years ago lost 102 games, and then a season ago was 26 games below 500, but they give Bruce Bochy the call. He's in Nashville talking about how he was chilling on his couch, came to manage the Texas Rangers, and now we're talking about them holding up some hardware as the World Series champs. It's an unbelievable ride for a franchise that's never won a title. And I got to give a shout out to my former partner and our current teammate on the ESPN Radio National Network, Chris Carlin, because he is a massive Texas Rangers fan and he can actually hold his head up high and he doesn't have to dwell in the disappointment of his Rangers losing to your St. Louis Cardinals.
Absolutely. I am thrilled for Texas Rangers fans. You know, when you have your greatest sports thrill and it comes at the expense of another fan base in absolutely heartbreaking fashion, you do have a certain level of empathy for them. And I've always felt for Texas Rangers fans because I've been on the other side of sports heartbreak. I know what it feels like. So I'm so thrilled that they finally changed course and they were able to win their first World Series. But two things coming out of this World Series that stand out to me, guys. Two storylines. Number one, as you mentioned, CeCe, just 2 years ago, this team lost 102 games. Well, you can change your fortune sometimes by spending a fortune. They go out, they spend $500 million. They acquire a lot of stars. And that doesn't always work, but it did work in the Texas Rangers fashion, going out and acquiring a lot of talent to supplement this team. Clearly, it paid dividends. And also, I said it at the beginning of this postseason, you mentioned Bruce Bochy being the guy to come in and change this Texas Rangers franchise. Between Bruce Bochy, Mike Maddox, the pitching coach for the Texas Rangers, old school baseball guys, it's like justice for the old school baseball guys. Because so many times in modern baseball, we've seen the front office take such a prominent role and they hire a manager to be an extension of that. They play the numbers. They hire an inexpensive manager who maybe will do what the front office wants. And I love to see guys like Bruce Bochy and Mike Maddox, those old school baseball guys, having success again.
Well said, because I could not believe this offseason when all of a sudden you wake up and Buster Olney and Jeff Passan are reporting, Bruce Bochy, manager of the Rangers, and you're like, what? He was available? Like, who knew he was even available, right? That all of a sudden he's going to manage, and this is an all-time great manager now. This is a guy that you put right up there and maybe above Joe Torre, Tony La Russa in the last 20 or 30 years in Major League Baseball, Dusty Baker, Bobby Cox in that mix as well, obviously. But in terms of number of titles, he's unbelievable. 4 World Series titles. I had this thought. You mentioned he's basically at home. They give him the call. He comes back.
He's in the recliner, he said.
Would you retire if you're him? Would you go back and be like, I'm good. I did what I had to do. I don't need to do anything else. I mean, think about, like, we're showing the graphic on the TV side on ESPN2, the most World Series titles. He's right there with Joe Torre and Walter Alston for four overall. Connie Mack, Casey Stengel, and Joe McCarthy after or above him. But in terms of modern day managers, it's Bochy and Torre in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an unbelievable thing, what this guy has been able to accomplish. The other thing I was thinking about, just from a human element, you said, Smalls, they spent all this money.
Yeah.
The guy that, even more than Seager or Marcus Semien, the guy that we look at as the money guy is actually a guy that didn't even play.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom. How would you feel if you're him today? Are you happy for your teammates? You're like, you got to be kidding me. I was with the Mets forever, and I'm a Mets fan, so I could do this to myself.
Yeah.
I'm with the Mets forever. Nothing ever goes right. I'm really good, but the guys around me are not. Now I finally get on this great team, and I'm injured.
Well, he still gets a ring. He still gets a ring. He's on the team. Yeah. I mean, he just didn't have an opportunity to be there when it matters the most in the postseason. And quite frankly, this is the time that you want a pitcher like that. But that's what makes the Texas Rangers so interesting, Smalls, because it's clearly a team that was led by their offense and the length in their lineup. That's been a theme throughout the postseason, and that's been something that's traveled. Again, we talk about it, 11-0 on the road this postseason. I don't know that we're going to see that anytime soon again, just because of the manager and because of the veteran leadership that you have in that clubhouse. But we always say that momentum is the next day's starting pitcher in baseball, right. But it really has been about the lineup and guys being willing to pass the baton and put together quality at-bats. Everybody has talked about wanting to have guys that hit for extra bases, the slug, and how much of an emphasis that's put on that in today's game. But this is just a really good lineup that doesn't try to do too much with their approach. Like, they put the ball in play, and they put pressure on the opposing defense, and they make sure that they pass the baton to other guys when they don't have a pitch that they can do damage with. And that's the thing that's so curious. During the regular season, this team was second in batting average, second in OPS. During the postseason, they were top three in both. That has been the catalyst for this team's championship run, and I'm curious to see whether other teams follow suit in finding players that can not only hit for extra bases, but players that have the discipline and that are willing to just take the base hit when the opportunity presents itself. That's the thing that I'm curious to see moving forward.
Well, it'll absolutely happen because what does everybody do? They try to replicate what they see it having success, so I definitely think that will happen. But even if you – what you said, CeCe, about the pitching, even if you just – isolate Max Scherzer, and prior to the Rangers winning the World Series, you would give the lines of some of the outings we would see from Max Scherzer and then say, oh, and he's going to be out for the season. You would probably, or by the time we arrived at this point, right? You would say there's no way they could win. If they're not getting production from Max Scherzer and they're going to use him in those spots, those crucial spots, they're not going to win. If you say we're going to remove Adolis Garcia, who had been such an engine for this team, there's no way that they can win. But that's how strong the Texas Rangers have been holistically. They just continue to find a way. And I think you keep going back to managing.
Yep.
Coaching matters. Managing matters. And we're seeing that with Bruce Bochy. And again, I don't want to gloss over what Mike Maddux was able to do with this pitching staff.
The one thing I don't think is going to be copied, and I agree with you, like we see all these different things. We see it in every single sport. Oh, a team wins in playing 3-4 defense in the NFL. Well, we're going to go 3-4.
Yeah.
A team wins playing 4-3 with two massive defensive tackles. Tony Siragusa, Sam Adams, these big, Ted Washington. Like, oh, we need the big guy. I don't think the teams are going to follow suit relative to the old school baseball manager.
Why not?
Because they don't
want to cede control?
I think there's part of that. There's three things. They don't want to cede control. They don't want to pay the money. And there's only one Bruce Bochy. Because who is the other example? Do you think somebody's going to go try to hire Joe Torre? I don't.
Mets just tried that with Buck Showalter. It didn't work out.
Yeah. Do you think somebody's going to go hire Tony La Russa again? I don't. Needless to say, after what happened with the White Sox. I think Bochy is
What about Joe Maddon?
Okay, I think he's one of the most overrated managers we've ever seen, and I thought he was terrible in the World Series with the Cubs, and they still won. I am not. Joe Maddon's a great guy. Joe Maddon's fun. Joe Maddon would be a great guest. Joe Maddon is not the guy I want managing my team. I think he's a little bit overrated as a manager.
But you don't think people are going to look at Bruce Bochy having success when, as he said, I was on the recliner, and then all of a sudden I'm out here managing in a World Series, and they're going to try to figure out, okay, maybe, just maybe, these old school managers, these baseball guys know what they're talking about, and they have a feel for the game. They have a feel for their players. Maybe we can look at a guy in Joe Maddon who does have the track record of getting it done, who is a championship caliber manager, and maybe we'll roll the dice on him. So I just imagine people might be calling him.
I think you're right, but I don't think it's actually going to happen. Because we see it. I mean, CeCe's team, the Yankees, we have seen that the general manager wants to manage the team, right?
Yeah.
That Brian Cashman wants to make sure. And that's not to be a knock on Aaron Boone. You take the job that's offered to you, and you adjust your system and style. I just don't think that's going to be a trend that will continue. I wish it was. Because Joe Maddon is a figure that even if I think he's overrated, we all know who he is, right?
Yep.
He becomes a – like, let's be honest. Baseball is not as popular nationally as it once was, but you have a guy like Maddon, have a guy like Bochy that the average everyday fan knows. Now, the other interesting thing about the Rangers, first title ever for this franchise. Mm-hmm. If we take the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NFL, who is the team that we would look at and say, this is going to be the next first-time winner? the next first-time winner. So in other words, you're going to have a team like the Texas Rangers that's going to win a title for the very first time in their franchise's history. Who is that team? We'd love to hear from you at 888-SAY-ESPN. You could be a part of the Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. There are 30-plus teams across those four sports we mentioned right now that have never won a title. Is there one that jumps out to you?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, they've got
a championship-winning coach in Doug Peterson. They've got a top-10 scoring offense, top-10 scoring defense. Their defense is number one in takeaways. And they got a guy in Trevor Lawrence that is a generational talent. He was the first overall pick 3 years ago. The guy is special, and we've seen that in short order. He's probably one of the top six or seven quarterbacks in the National Football League. So they have all of the ingredients to have success. Couple that with the fact that they play in the AFC South, which is the little brother in the conference, the easiest division. I just think it's all set up for the Jacksonville Jaguars to go on a deep playoff run, and why not them? Like, this is a team that's won five games in a row. At some point, we have to start taking them seriously as a title contender.
The Cincinnati Bengals have never won a Super Bowl, have they?
No.
And I'm going to put my money on Joe Burrow. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a good pick, but they're going to have to get through Joe Burrow and the Bengals to get there, and I put my money on Joey B.
I like both of those. Both of those were on my list. So as process of elimination for the show, I'll go with the Phoenix Suns.
Oh.
I mean, it's not that big of a risk to bet on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a generational all-time talent. He's playing next to two all-star. Well, he's supposed to play next to two all-star.
He's supposed to.
Bradley Beal gets to play.
We've seen that movie before, haven't we?
And to tie into the World Series, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant were sitting there front row last night in Arizona watching the Diamondbacks. So there, I'll go with the Suns because I love both of your picks. I would have picked both of your picks above my pick, but just in draft style, we'll do it that way for the sake of our show. I'll take the Phoenix Suns as the next first-time champ in those four sports, NHL, NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball.
No love for the L.A. Clippers? Y'all ain't got love for Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg?
I was thinking
about
that.
Y'all ain't got no love for them?
I was thinking about that. I did. They are on my list as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to hear from you, Dr. Pepper call-in line, Unsportsmanlike Nation. Give us the next first-time champ. We saw the Texas Rangers last night. Who is the next first-time champ? NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL. We'll get your phone calls in on that. Plus, the college basketball and sports world lost an iconic figure yesterday. We will discuss coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Congrats to the Texas Rangers. They win the World Series with their victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. and they become a first-time champ. And we're asking you guys at 888-SAY-ESPN, the next first-time champ. NBA, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball. CC went with the Jaguars, love that pick. Smalls went with the Bengals, love that pick. I went with the Phoenix Suns. You're right to call me out on the Clippers. I've been supportive of the Clippers.
You have been. You're a big Clippers guy.
I'm a big Clippers guy
big
now.
Big Clippers
Evan,
guy.
Noted Clippers fan.
Excited about the James Harden trade this week.
I think LA basketball is in a really good place. That we saw the game last night, Lakers and Clippers, overtime win for your Lakers. Yeah.
Can Lakers fans stop tweeting me that D'Angelo Russell had a good game last night in an overtime win? I don't want to hear about the one-off D'Angelo Russell good game, okay? Like, a broken clock is right twice a day. I don't want to hear that about D'Lo. Oh, see, you're being too hard on D'Lo. Stop yourselves, okay? Stop yourselves.
When he's on another team in two or three months, they'll be fine with you doing that. Because you know that he's the player with the contract that they're going to use to try to get somebody to upgrade.
Of course he is. I can't wait till they get rid of him. I can't wait.
Greg in Michigan watching on ESPN2. What's up, Greg?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions, next one to win championships, never won one.
Yeah, listen, that's a good one. I mean, they're great so far this season. They're, what, 6-2. They do have the loss to the Ravens, 38-6, if I'm not mistaken, which was a really bad loss. And somehow on this show, we have found ourselves doing the college football playoff rankings for the NFL, where we're really, like, leaning into the strength of schedule, because you got a few teams like Miami, like Dallas, that have the strength of schedule stuff.
Yep.
The Lions do have a great win over Kansas City, obviously, but the most recent great game they played was not a great game against the Baltimore Ravens, obviously. But that's a good one. Lions have never won. Alex in Ohio, listening on Sirius XM80. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Morning.
Hey, Cincinnati Bengals. Listen, 35 years I've been a fan, and I never thought I'd see them in the Super Bowl. They made it once. They got Burrow. They got Chase. They've got a good core of guys. They're going to be the next ones, and they're on a roll right now.
Smalls, when you pick them, and thanks for the phone call, Alex, when you pick them, you're picking them for this year or just next up amongst everybody else?
I'll pick them for this year.
Wow.
Amongst the first-time winners, right? You're not picking them over the Chiefs necessarily.
I feel better about the Bengals right now than I do the Chiefs.
There's a statement.
I told you heading into last week that I thought the Broncos could beat the Chiefs. You guys thought I was bananas. They just seem vulnerable to me. They don't feel, even though they've been racking up wins, they don't feel like the same version of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, we saw the Eagles not look like themselves, but they've been building. We feel like it's a crescendo with the Eagles. I haven't felt the same thing about the Chiefs. While I feel like the Bengals, Joe Burrow's getting healthier. They're finding that rhythm. They've started out slow in the past, so this is not a team that's going to panic when they get off to a 1-3 start. I believe in the Bengals.
DeAndre in Dallas, watching and listening on the ESPN app.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm saying the Phoenix Suns, and they will win this year.
I mean, it's not crazy. Like, listen, we're rolling the dice on Kevin Durant. That's not a big bet.
No, it's not a big bet, but we got to keep it in its proper perspective. Kevin Durant is 35 years old. So it ain't like they got a ton of runway in terms of competing at a championship level with this team. I get it. These are three of the best, you know, 20 basketball players on the planet. That's great. You've assembled a lot of talent. But I've seen the movie before where Kevin Durant has been with three of the top 20 players in the NBA. It didn't work out. Now, we're saying that because of the off-the-court issues that we saw in Brooklyn. But with this Phoenix Suns team, I do worry about those guys, you know, being able to stay in their prime and at the height of their powers and getting through a Western Conference that features a couple of teams that are juggernauts in the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets, the reigning defending champs.
Yeah, I think I picked the Suns, and I think you're being kind. Three of the top 20, two of the top 20. I'm not sure if we could put Bradley Beal in there.
Okay,
right,
top 25.
No, I'm saying, I'm trying to back your point against me here.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to question Bradley Beal myself a little bit on this one, and I just picked them. Matt in Atlantic City watching on ESPN2. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, good morning, Evan. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Michelle. I'm going to say the Detroit Lions also. I think Dan Campbell's just a fun coach to play for. They're playing great right now, even though minus the loss, like you said, Evan, against the Ravens. Jahmyr Gibbs is playing out of his mind. That defense is playing great. I'm going to go to the Detroit Lions. I think it would be great for the city of Detroit. And I'll give you one more. The Jacksonville Jaguars. I know Doug Peterson won in Philly, but I think bringing the title to Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, let's see what they do. I know last year in the playoffs they got shunked. They gave up that lead. I'm going to go the Detroit Lions or the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Those are both really good ones, Matt. When it comes
You don't got to hold on. You don't get two. You get one. You have to pick one.
Well, he said Detroit first. Yeah.
So you have to go with one. You can't hedge with another team.
I've got all 37 of them, actually.
No, you can't hedge with another team. Like, you got to pick either or. So I'm going to go with the first one, the Detroit Lions. And I like everything that the Detroit Lions are doing. I guess the question is, how much do you believe in Jared Goff? That's what it's going to come down. Do you believe that Jared Goff can make the requisite plays, those handful of throws throughout the course of a playoff game against quality competition that can be the difference in a positive way for Detroit? I want to believe in him. I'm not sure yet. And a part of the stigma around Jared Goff is that Sean McVay, one of the most innovative offensive minds in all of football, jettisoned him to Detroit because he felt like he needed a quarterback that can consistently make those plays. And he got that guy, Matt Stafford, in year one, he won a championship. So I guess that's the part that makes it tough. Now, is Jared Goff a different quarterback now than when we last saw him in L.A.? Sure. But has he graduated to the point where you trust him when we start getting to the championship rounds against top-tier competition?
I'm sure Lions fans don't, because they don't want to believe, because they don't want to get their hearts broken. And anytime you see a drought end or a franchise win for the first time, you're thrilled for long-suffering fans. But the Detroit Lions, I think, hold a special place in that ethos of long-suffering fan bases. I wonder if there's one fan base above all others that we would feel really good about it if they got to win.
Well, that's interesting, and maybe retroactively, you can. If you could pick a second one, if it's the Lions.
Yeah, right? You know what I mean? The Lions, wouldn't everybody be thrilled about the Lions winning? We would just feel great for that fan base.
I don't know if I'd be thrilled about the Lions.
I would feel great for the Lions.
But are we thrilled
fans.
About the Rangers winning, or do we not associate them with lovable losers? Like, we don't think about them that way like we do the Lions, right?
I don't think we think about the Rangers at all. No, that's the point.
Yeah.
Before Bruce Bochy got there, it was just like, oh, they're adding some pieces. They paid Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and Jacob deGrom, and they added Max. Like they've added names, but nobody thought about the Texas Rangers before this postseason run.
When you thought about them, you thought about them losing to the Cardinals in 2011.
Exactly. So I mean, I think this is pretty cool for them to have this kind of moment, to have it all come together the way that it has, because it's been an improbable run. Nobody thought that they would be able to have the success they did this postseason, especially on the road. You're talking about a team that was 40-41 on the road during the regular season. Who the hell saw 11-0? Nobody saw it coming. Exactly.
No way. By the way, we did mention, unfortunately, it's a sad day in sports as well. In a few hours, we are going to have it at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Keith Smart, Indiana legend, hit the shot in 87 against Syracuse to win the championship. To talk about his former coach, Bob Knight, who passed away yesterday at 83 years old, a three-time champion, been to the Final Four 5 times, left the sport as the all-time wins leader, obviously has since been passed by his then-former assistant and player in Mike Krzyzewski. 42 seasons, 3 schools, obviously most known for Indiana. Very complicated legacy, right? Bob Knight is a guy that was a phenomenal basketball coach, actually had one of CeCe's coaches as one of his part-time assistants in Bill Parcells at Army back in the day. But he's the coach that X's and O's wise was better than everybody. He actually did more for his players than most in terms of graduation, jobs after college, and at times did less for his players in terms of hurting them physically, mentally, and emotionally. The entire story has to be told every which way. This was one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the sport, in any sport, but has a very complicated legacy, and probably CeCe could not coach today, not X's and O's wise, but if that mentality would not make it 42 years today.
Yeah, and I think he's a symbol for a bygone era when it comes to a certain generation, a certain style of coach, and I don't think that it's a situation where we have to, you know, look at the bad. I think today is an opportunity to look at the good and what Bobby Knight did, his contributions to his players, his contributions to Indiana, Texas Tech, and Army, and then overall the college basketball landscape. I think it's special when you have this type of individual to have success, not only as a coach, but as a player. He won 3 national championships as a coach. Mm-hmm. He won a national title as a player. He's only 1 or 2, Dean Smith being the other one. So I think it's pretty special to be able to have those accomplishments and really represent a lot of the good when it comes to what college basketball was all about. And let's remember this. He was on the forefront of growing the game of college basketball into what we know it to be now, like being able to generate the interest across the national landscape. I mean, right after John Wooden, this was the premier coach in the 70s and early 80s. It was Bobby Knight. And so I think him being one of the most, you know, one of the most, I guess, popular figures one of the most successful figures in the sport is what we should be focusing on today. Even though, as you can hear from a lot of the accounts of people that knew him well, it's a very, very
complicated
legacy.
It is complicated, and the approach probably wouldn't work today. But when you think about Bobby Knight, he does have one of the most storied careers in all of college basketball. And to what you were saying, CeCe, about him growing the game, he, to me, represents an era of college basketball where the coach was the franchise, where the coach was the celebrity. And we've seen Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski. There's been other guys after Bobby Knight that have taken on that role. But when we look at college basketball now, that's not necessarily the case. You know, with player empowerment being different, we don't necessarily have those coaches that are so prominent, that they are such a standalone figure the way that Bob Knight was.
I was always a Bob Knight fan for this reason. If you were going to send a kid there, you knew exactly what you were going to get. There were going to be no surprises. You knew what you were signing up for. You knew he was going to take care of that kid. Taking care of means good and bad. And you knew that once that kid graduated, or that kid would graduate, he would help them find a job in basketball or somewhere else. You knew what you were signing up for. For better or worse, you were not going to be surprised. And that's why, for me, I always liked the way that he operated, obviously. We will have more on this coming up. Now, not an easy transition, but coming up as well, Raiders made a ton of moves over the last couple of days. They made even more yesterday. We'll get into that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
The Raiders cleaning house, team fired coach Josh McDaniels, GM Dave Ziegler, and offensive coordinator Mick Lombardi.
What made you think Josh McDaniels was the right fit? When I go back and look at the coaches hired in that cycle, three of the coaches actually helped their team make the playoffs.
The owner of the Las Vegas Raiders turned it into a laughingstock, and it has never felt more awful than it does today.
Stop hiring the Belichickettes, because they have never worked. You can't hire background singers when you need a lead singer.
By the way, shout out to Freddie Coleman. Freddie, of course, Freddie and Harry, 3P to 7P Eastern. As part of Freddie's rant on the Raiders yesterday, he did this tiny little slip-in of, and you've got the worst haircut of any owner in the NFL about Mark Davis. So shout out to Freddie on that. It is on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycles, RVs, and boat insurance. Visit Progressive.com for more information. Of course, the Rangers win the World Series last night. We're getting your phone calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN on the next first-time winner, NBA, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball. Who's the next team to win it all for the first time like the Rangers did last night? The Raiders, we talked a ton about yesterday. You can go on the ESPN app and listen back to our podcast. They fire their head coach. They fire their general manager. Yesterday, they fire their offensive coordinator, Mick Lombardi. They also bench Jimmy Garoppolo in favor of rookie Aiden O'Connell. And their new head coach, CeCe's former teammate with the Giants, Antonio Pierce. Well, he certainly brought some passion to the podium yesterday.
This is a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset. What is that mindset? It's that of the Raider pride, the commitment to excellence, and making sure our alumni, our fan base, and Raider Nation are proud of what they see on the field. What does that look like? Tough, passionate, effort, energy, that enthusiasm that you see when we all watched our kids and these young men who are now pro athletes play when they're in Pop Warner, having that love for the game. We're on the same page, Champ and myself. Our staff is connected. We had a great team meeting this morning. Everybody was steely-eyed and focused. We walked in with a smile on our face. The synergy, the energy in this building, and the personality of our players will reflect on who we are as Raiders. This is a great opportunity for myself. I'm humbled. I'm honored. And I don't take it lightly. I'm sure there'll be questions about why, how. Those all get answered. But this is about the players, this is about the Raiders, and this is about this organization. And we're tired of losing. It's not a good feeling. We're a production-based business. We're about competition, being competitive, and play with an edge and a swag and a certain confidence that we walk out that damn tunnel that everybody watching TV can see it, and a product on the field is something we're proud of.
Well, CC, your former teammate Antonio Pierce won the press conference. Doesn't necessarily mean you win on Sundays, but he definitely won the press conference.
No, yesterday. No, but this guy is going to win the locker room, and that's the most important thing. Like, you don't need me to tell you this based on the soundbite, based on what he just said, but that is a leader of men. That's where Mike Tomlin meets Dan Campbell in terms of personality. Ooh. That's the type of dude that Antonio Pierce is. When I came to the New York Giants, this is a guy that was prepared. He was always in the building early, watching film, breaking things down. If he told me to go somewhere, it's because he was putting me in position to make a play. That, like, he is well-versed. His football IQ, his football acumen is second to none. This guy knows the game backwards and forwards, right? So he's gonna put those players in positions to have success. Now, I'm not sure that he has the coaching staff or the requisite talent that it takes to turn this season around for the Las Vegas Raiders, but he's going to make it interesting, and he's going to make this team a tough out. So I am rooting for Antonio to have success. I'm rooting for AP to have success out there in Vegas because he is a man's man. He is a glue guy. He is the type of guy that the NFL is built on. We all know the stars, but these are the types of guys that carry the water for all 32 franchises. It's Antonio Pierce. Again, he's a leader of men. When he stands up, everybody in that team, everybody in that organization is going to believe in whatever he's trying to sell them. It's just a matter of them being able to go out there and execute. Again, I don't know what the other coaching staff members are. I don't know what the talent level on that team is. But I will say this, you're going to get the best out of AP each and every week in terms of preparing his team to have success.
I don't know how, if you're in that locker room, you don't sit up a little straighter and get ready to play when you hear him talk. Because I heard that soundbite and I wanted to bang my fist on the table and say, let's go. And I think that when change like this happens, you need somebody to be a steadying force. Mm-hmm. And he seems like he's going to come in and do that immediately.
What's interesting about this whole situation is I saw – I'm glad you mentioned Dan Campbell, right? You said his personality feels like – Dan Campbell and Mike Tomlin, somewhere in the middle or a mesh of those two guys, right?
It's not a feel like, it is.
Okay, it is.
It
right.
is.
What yeah. a combo.
That's yeah. an amazing combo. We know more about Dan Campbell because the Lions had patience with him. He started 4-19-1 as a head coach. And I'm not saying this about Josh McDaniels because Josh McDaniels had a body of work in Denver and then the Raiders, they knew what he was.
Yeah.
I am wondering, though, whether or not the quick hook for some of these coaches is the right thing or the wrong thing in the NFL. Because if the Lions had the quick hook on Dan Campbell, they're not in this position. And by the way, I'll be the first to admit it. I thought they should have fired him.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was doing a good job. And now he's doing a great job with this team. So in terms of where we are with coaching in the league, do you think the quick hook makes sense?
Well, here's the thing. AP is getting the interim head coach job. Dan Campbell was the interim head coach down in Miami once upon a time. Then he had a stop with the assistant head coach in New Orleans before he got the gig as the head coach with the Detroit Lions. So I'm not saying that this is going to be AP's job to lose. What I am saying is that this is a guy that's going to do everything he can to have success. And if by some reason it ends up looking like what Rich Bisaccia did a couple of years ago, where they have a winning record and they end up flirting with getting into the playoffs, then Antonio Pierce deserves consideration for this job. This is somebody that could be doing a lot of other things. AP is a successful businessman. He was the head coach at Long Beach Poly before he got with Herm Edwards at Arizona State.
Worked here?
Exactly. He's worked here. Like AP could, again, this is not somebody that needs this job. This is somebody that wants this job.
They choose it.
He's choosing it, and this is who he is. Like, he lives and breathes football. No matter what level, this is a guy that's passionate about the game, and I think that's going to come across to his players. Now, again, I want to stop short of setting such lofty expectations by talking up AP because I know the
situation. You compared him to Tomlin and Campbell, so that's
I said personality-wise. Yeah, no, I'm not saying that he's going to be the same coach as those guys. I said personality-wise because I know all three of them. But I guess my point is this. The dysfunction within the Raiders organization is what gives me cause to pause in terms of him being able to have a successful out as the interim head coach. But he has all the ingredients, all the makings of being able to be a success in the National Football League as a coach. What the rest of the staff and what the players in that locker room do, now that's to be determined. But mm-hmm. I'm excited for him to get this opportunity because no one deserves it more than him.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what he does with the Raiders and with this team. But as far as having a quick hook, I think in sports in general, we have lost patience. We have a big sense of urgency. If you're not winning now, you're out because of all the money that's at stake and all the pressure that's put on organizations. But I think sometimes it's beyond wins and losses. Like Dan Campbell's a good example. If he's not winning, but the powers that be can see that he's won the locker room and he's building a culture, they may give him more runway. If it's a Josh McDaniels and they're having their star player and Devontae Adams make comments publicly about what's going on, that's one thing. If it's Urban Meyer in Jacksonville and you from the outside can see what a mess it is on the inside, you need to have a quick hook. But I think sometimes you have to have patience when you're not having the results externally, but you're seeing dividends being paid internally.
Well, I think CeCe hit on something very important and very astute on the Dan Campbell front, the Dolphin stint. Because what that was a public tryout for the other 31.
Yeah.
Right? So even if Antonio Pierce is not the guy with the Raiders, if you see some sort of growth and development and, oh, that feels different there than it did previously, it's a public tryout for the other 31 teams, is it not?
No, it is, but if you're Mark Davis, don't you think you need to try to hang on to a coach if this guy's going to end up being a quality guy in the National Football League?
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Like, it's hard to imagine that Rich Bisaccia would have done a worse job than Josh McDaniels.
No, and I like McDaniels, but of course, you're right. I mean, it's not debatable. He would have been as good or better.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody in the
everybody in the
locker room loved Rich Bisaccia. Mm-hmm. You're going to get similar vibes with AP. That's just who he is. People gravitate toward him. He looks out for his guys. He looks out for his players. Hell, he looked out for the coaches when he was with the New York Giants. He made a lot of plays and made a lot of calls that made them look better than they should have. That is who Antonio Pierce is. That's what his football acumen allows him to do. And so I think what will get lost in the press conference is how smart of a guy he is when it comes to football X's and O's on the field. Sure, all of these coaches are going to be praised and lauded for their motivational abilities, but when it comes to knowing the game of football and understanding what offenses and defenses are trying to do, this guy will give you a masterclass because he's that astute. That's why I think they have a chance to make themselves a tough out in the second half of the regular season. Again, I'm not saying that they're going to go on a playoff run. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying he's going to have a winning record as the interim coach. What I am saying is the days of the Raiders beating themselves with the self-inflicting wounds, those are over.
In addition to everything you just said, I love him for this opportunity because you just heard it in his press conference. He understands the identity of the Raiders or what it was when he talks about the toughness and the swag that you're going to feel when you come out of the tunnel. There's certain franchises that you want to attach a certain identity to, and I think he really understands that with the Raiders. So in addition to winning over the locker room and helping them become more disciplined and having that football IQ and making them a better football team, I think as a Raiders fan, you probably understand that he gets you. He gets what this organization once was.
Well, he grew up a fan of this team, too. And he talked about it in Compton like he was a Raiders fan. Right. That was like it was NWA.
When the Raiders were cool.
It was NWA and it was Raiders.
Yeah,
that's who he is.
He gets it.
That's pretty cool to be able to have a former player, a former champion, and then have this guy that grew up in Southern California, a Raiders fan, now being your head coach.
Yeah.
Is somehow now load management not real? Somebody thinks we're making this up. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
The 76ers sent Harden and two other players to the team he wanted to go to, the Clippers.
He got exactly what he wanted. I mean, the ability to get to the Clippers, it's a tremendous show of power.
I love the Philly side because it gives them maximum flexibility. You're creating a treasure trove of assets to be able to bring over another star.
There is no shot that this Clippers team makes a conference final. I don't trust them enough to not implode when it matters the most.
We shouldn't play negative Carlin clips today with his baseball team winning the World Series. I don't know. Should we play the negative Carlin clips on the Clippers there?
It's a good day for Chris Carlin.
Great day.
Yeah, his team won a World Series last night.
So maybe not negative, yeah.
It is on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Lakers and Clippers last night. Harden did not play yet. He was there. 130-125. CC's Lakers beat the Clippers in overtime last night. Both teams are 3-2 on the season. But what came out of this was pretty interesting. Lawrence Frank is the Clippers general manager, former head coach in the league, now a front office guy, and was asked about all of the load management and rest. And here is what Lawrence Frank had to say about this.
Well, one, you know, the Kawhi and PG rest thing is bull. There's a difference between injuries and rest. Kawhi and Paul last year were injured. These guys work extremely hard for their reputations to be impacted that, you know, people say rest or don't want to play. Like, these guys are the highest level competitors. They're first ballot Hall of Famers. Why with James, really what we looked at was it was an opportunity to maximize Kawhi and Paul and to give us the highest chance to win. It's our responsibility, not just to Kawhi and Paul and to the coaching staff and to the people in the organization, but to our fans, to look at every single way where we can raise our ceiling. James is a ceiling raiser. He has skill sets that will fit really, really well with our team.
So, I mean, sure, they didn't rest as much as they were hurt. We're not doubting them that they were injured, but are we really going to make the argument that Kawhi Leonard has played through all of his injuries and not rested? I mean, he is literally the face of load management. I'm not a LeBron guy in terms of, like, there's uber LeBron fans. That's not me. I actually will defend LeBron. LeBron doesn't rest like this. LeBron plays anytime he could possibly play, and people blame him for a lot of it. This ain't on him. I don't even know what Lawrence Frank is talking about.
Well, I guess that's the whole point, right? You say we all know or we don't doubt that it's because of injury, not load management. I'm sitting here looking at you like, I don't know that.
Well, with the one specific injury.
Well, we can talk about the one specific injury, but both of those guys are not above reproach. Like, when it comes to, you know, whether or not they're actually injured versus whether they're doing whatever it takes to load manage. Lawrence Frank has to say that, right? Because of the rules that the NBA has put in place to try to, you know, mitigate guys tanking, sitting out games, and making the regular season in large part irrelevant. They're trying to change the culture around that. So, of course, Lawrence Frank is avoiding the third rail by making sure that everybody understands that it's because of quote-unquote injury and not load management. When in reality, we've seen that they've load-managed Kawhi ever since he showed up. In the last couple of years, it's been the same with PG-13, which is why I'm skeptical about what this team can achieve. Yeah, James Harden might raise the ceiling, but, I mean, here's the deal, and Tim Legler kind of alluded to it. The Clippers, if you believe Kawhi Leonard is going to stay healthy, already had enough to win a championship without James Harden. So I guess my whole point is this. I don't know that adding James Harden does anything, you know, materially for me in terms of changing the outlook on what the LA Clippers are going to be this season, especially in a Western Conference that's loaded.
But don't those things kind of go hand in hand? James Harden can raise your ceiling because of potential load management and wanting to preserve those other guys and maybe have them not incur any injuries.
Sure.
I also think to say that it's BS is a little, come on. I mean, yeah. we all know that this is a major problem in the NBA. You're not going to throw your guys under the bus, but we're not going to we're going to take those comments with a grain of salt.
No question. And that's one of the reasons I think that the in-season tournament is going to hopefully be a huge help for this, is because you're giving more incentive to players to actually play. It starts on Friday. We'll have the Knicks and Bucks in the early game on ESPN as part of the in-season tournament that we're going to see every single week. You know, you hope that maybe that triggers something. And then the Mavs and the Nuggets, Mavs are undefeated, by the way, the late game on ESPN on Friday night. But it's an issue. We saw, like, I would argue that Joel Embiid a couple of nights ago for his home opener was almost guilted into playing. Like, there was a lot of talk that he was going to rest, and the internet blew up. Like, are you kidding me? On my team in the Heat, Jimmy Butler already sat out a game because of rest.
Yeah.
So we've already seen this. Mm-hmm. And we're like a week into the season.
Yeah, but I think that just shows you where the players are at in terms of how they look at the regular season and the lack of urgency from them, as opposed to where the league is at, wanting to appease the television partners and the fan bases alike and making sure that the stars are there when they pay the money for the ticket or when they sit down, turn on the television to watch the game. And so I think that's the part where Adam Silver has got to find a way to bridge the gap, and maybe it'll be the in-season tournament. But when we look at the Clippers specifically, the regular season matters in terms of the ultimate goal, because this team needs to figure out how they're going to play with each other. Like, that's the thing. I know that they're talented guys when they're the best versions of themselves.
Right.
But how is it all going to work together? How is Ty Lue going to make it work with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, two ball-dominant guards? How is he going to make it work in terms of the chemistry, the minutes distribution, the rotations with the lineup? Like, those are the things that you want to see. Those are the things that have to get worked out in terms of the overall chemistry of the team, because the last thing you want, if you're a Clippers fan, is for this team to be trying to figure it out on the fly once we get into the playoffs.
Right.
They don't have the opportunity to do that. There's not a ton of runway. Right now, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, we're looking at them and saying, what are the Clippers going to do contractually with the two stars they have? So I guess there's not a lot of time to workshop this, which is why the regular season matters for the Clippers more so than any of the other teams in the Western Conference not named the Phoenix Suns. I think they have to actually take it seriously and have all four of those stars on the court to figure out how it's going to work.
I agree with you, and I believe in them. And I have no logic for believing
you
in
believe
them.
In the Clippers?
Yeah, that's the problem.
You might be the only one in this building right now that feels that way.
I know that.
Why?
Right?
Everything you guys are saying is fair. Like, I believe in both LA teams. I think this is going to be a phenomenal year for Los Angeles basketball. I think the Lakers are going to end up being really good, and I think the Clippers are going to be really good. But everything you guys said is fair. And what I'm believing is the illogical thoughts that somehow, not just one of these guys, not just two, not just three, all four guys from L.A., playing in L.A., will be back to their best versions of their current selves in Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. It is completely and utterly illogical. I get that. To believe that, I'm admitting that. But I think, and I love Ty Lue, I think it's going to work. And I think we are going to maybe even see Clippers and Lakers in the postseason against each other. I think both of these teams are going to be very good this year. I really do believe
that. I would feel a lot better about him saying that about my Lakers if he didn't include the Clippers with that.
Right.
Because now I don't know how seriously I can take you. Right?
I believe in both of them.
I believe in the Lakers and the Clippers.
Believe in them as much as you believe in the Denver Nuggets?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. I was just saying. All right. Okay.
Nor did I say that.
Because that's the bar in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Or the Warriors.
That's what you're judging it.
Or the Warriors.
The Warriors look good with Chris Paul. I'm telling you.
Or the Warriors.
That CP3 thing looks pretty good.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.